This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi. Welcome you to the Stories of the Prophets. Today we're with episode 51 and it's session number 20, talking about Musa and Al-Khidr. MashaAllah, Sister Yasmin, she's always the first one to log in. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I'm just going to give a minute for people to join so that we can resume our series, The Stories of the Prophets. Stories of the Prophets. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be, finishing up the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. Musa and Al-Khidr, that amazing, amazing man, you know, that Musa alayhi salam undertook that journey, you know, traveling to learn some vital life lessons from. So, inshallah ta'ala, as soon as, more people join so that we can, bi-idhnillah, resume our session. Okay, well, you know what? Let us start, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can be, just give a quick review of what we talked about yesterday. So, Musa alayhi salam, when he was asked, who is the most knowledgeable man, he said he was him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, sort of like teach him a lesson. And Jibreel alayhi salam, spoke to Musa alayhi salam, or revealed to Musa that in fact there is a man who's more knowledgeable than you, and Musa alayhi salam wanted to learn from that man. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he did not indicated exactly where he would find him, but it was a story filled with mysteries. He says between the junction of the two seas, you will, find the man. And then Musa alayhi salam, he went with his servant, Yusha, traveling for miles and miles and miles. He said he would not rest. He said he would not rest until he gets to the appointed place. And this is the beauty of ilm, The beauty of ilm, it is not like, look how it's going on here today. Let me give you an example, and please don't take it, personal. Sometimes people, they log in or they come in whenever they have time, but for ilm, it is not whenever you have time, you attend a lecture. This is a problem with the ummah today. Whenever I have time, I will attend a lecture. Whenever I have time, I will log in. Whenever I have time, I will listen, whenever I have time. For ilm, you have to give time. It is not whenever you have time. For the ilm, you have to make time. You have to give time, right? So Musa alayhi salam, we learn this from the story of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he said, I will not rest until I go and meet this man. And that's what he did. لن أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين. لن أبرح. I will not rest until I find this man, right? So this is one of the etiquettes of ilm. As I mentioned, I mentioned so many etiquettes. Like sincerity is the most, critical, element in seeking knowledge. But again, you have to make time for ilm. You've got to make time for knowledge. You cannot let ilm come to you. Although now things have become so, subhanAllah, practical, where you can just log in online and then, watch whatever you want and listen to whatever you want. But you've got to make time for ilm. It is not whenever I have time. It is not whenever I have a spare time, I will listen or attend this lecture or whatnot. No, that's not how it was in the past. And Musa alayhi salam, he did exactly that. Musa alayhi salam, he undertook that journey and traveled just because, he made time. So we need to make time for ilm. Not whenever I have time, I will, listen, or whenever I have time, I will watch. With all due respect. So this is one of the little things that I want to talk about ilm, right? Just as I hope you understand, my point here. So at any rate, Musa alayhi salam, finally he met that man who's to be Al-Khidr. And we talked about, who Al-Khidr, is or was. And then Musa said that I want to learn from you. Al-Khidr said that you will not be able to learn from me because you won't be able to be patient with me. And then Musa alayhi salam said, I promise you, I will not, I will be patient. I will be patient, and I shall not displease you, or I shall not disobey your orders. So they undertook that journey, and the journey was made of like three types of journeys. It was a sea trip, a wild trip, and a country trip. So the first trip was a sea trip where they embarked on a boat, and the people who, in fact, they did not take no money from them. Just because they knew who Al-Khidr was, they liked the man, they just welcomed them. All of a sudden, Al-Khidr stood up and started damaging the boat, without thinking. Musa alayhi salam started asking or wondering, why would you damage the boat? These people were so nice to us, so much so that they didn't even ask for money, and then in return you would go and damage the boat. So we spoke about this yesterday, and we spoke about the explanation that was given by Al-Khidr. It happened to be that on the other end, because these people, they work, making people cross from one end of the sea to the other end. On the other end was a town. In that town was a ruler who's a dictator, who used to take people's, if he sees any boats he likes, he will take the boat and he will kill, those people. So Al-Khidr, he did cause some damage. Right? He did cause some damage. He caused some evil. But he warded off a bigger evil. He warded off a bigger evil. And I explained that yesterday, speaking about, sometimes things may happen to you. Things that you may think they're bad to you. Or things that were maybe that you did not expect. Or things that you struggled so much for and you made so much effort for. But at the end, subhanAllah, they did not go as per your liking, right? And then you wonder why, why this marriage didn't happen, why the divorce happened, why I lost my job, why after all I have given, in terms of efforts and time and whatnot, and I don't get this or I don't get that or whatnot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It may be that that you like something, but there is no khair in it for you. And it may be that you dislike something, and there is khair in it for you. There is good in it for you. Allah knows, and you do not know. So Musa alayhi salam, he did not have that knowledge. Allah azza wa jal, gave that knowledge to Al-Khidr. That in fact there is, a man, a ruler, a tyrant, who kills people and takes their boats. So Musa al-Khidr alayhi salam, when to ward off that evil, he caused a damage. He caused a damage to the boat. So when they reached the other end, the ruler was there, that tyrant, but he saw that the boat was already damaged. He saw that the boat was already damaged, so he did not pay attention to it, and people were saved. Right? So this is what, yesterday when we talked about the fact that it is not necessary, it is not a condition for you and I to understand or to know why certain things happen in life or happen to us. Why those people who are so good, sometimes people, they wonder why oftentimes bad things happen to good people. Don't you sometimes wonder why? Sometimes you ask, why only, subhanAllah, bad things happen to good people? And those bad people who are really, really, really bad, look at them. They're having great life. That's what appears to you. That's what seems to you. That's what seems to you. It seems to you that they're having a great life, driving great cars, beautiful houses, beautiful wives or beautiful husband or whatnot, having a great job, So you think, look, they're having, great life. But that's what appears to you. And then you say, and bad stuff happens to good people. They always tried one after another. They either lose a job or something bad happened to them, or some people, sometimes they accuse them of things, sometimes they're arrested, like Yusuf alayhi salam. A good boy, a good man, good boy thrown into the well, a good man thrown into prison, innocent boy thrown into the well, innocent man thrown into jail. He's a good man, he didn't do anything, yet trial happened to him, and so on and so forth. Right? So sometimes, like I said, you wonder why. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not to be questioned about what he does, but you and I, human beings, are to be questioned. When we stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will question us. But as I said yesterday, there's always hikmah. Listen to this. There's always hikmah. There's always wisdom behind anything that happens to you. Wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not do things or does not do anything except with wisdom and knowledge. He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that which you're going through. He knows that which you're suffering from. Some of you may be, you know, wondering why this disease that I've been suffering from for years. Years I've been suffering from this black magic. Or years I've been suffering from, you know, the fact that I'm single, right? All my other friends, they were able to get married, except me. Or some may say, well, after all these years, and then I got married, and then I, look what happened. You know, he did this to me, or she did it to me, or whatnot. And then, you know, the marriage happened to be, a failure. Why? Although I'm good, I pray, I did Quran, I did Hajj, I did this, and I did that. Why? It is not a condition for you and I to know why. But Allah Azza wa Jalla does things off of ilm and knowledge. Off of knowledge and wisdom, I'm sorry. Off of ilm, off of knowledge and wisdom. You know, wisdom means hikmah, right? So that's what we learned from Musa alayhi salam. We learned that from Musa alayhi salam from the first trip. That's called the sea trip. And then, as carried on their journey, as they carried on their journey, they went into another, you know, like a wild trip, you know, in the wild, they saw some kids playing, and Al-Khidr was just like looking for something. What is he looking for? Musa does not know. All of a sudden, Al-Khidr found a boy playing with other boys. He just took him and killed him. Musa, again, he just, without thinking, because this is something really bad, something really like a dreadful thing. You know, like, okay, damaging the boat, we may let that go, but killing an innocent man, or not a man, an innocent boy, a soul. A boy did not do nothing. He did not commit no crime. Why would you kill him? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Indeed, you have come up with something like a dreadful, you know, crime. And then Al-Khidr, when he told him, you won't be able to be patient with me. I told you won't be able to be patient with me. But then at the end, he explained his actions. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ. With the ghulam, with the boy, his parents, they were believers. His parents were believers. So what happened? Allah Azza wa Jal, in his knowledge, revealed to Al-Khidr that this boy, if he was to grow up, he will be an evil boy. He will be an evil man. He will be evil. He will be bad. So Al-Khidr went and he killed him. Because this is extreme. You may wonder, I know a lot of you may be asking, like, you know, why? Then if Allah knows, why would you, you know, Al-Khidr is going to kill him. Then why these people, why Allah Azza wa Jalla made these people have, you know, give birth to this boy who was bad anyways, if he was to be going to be killed? Like I said, number one, Allah is not to be asked. He's not to be questioned. But here's what happened. Al-Khidr came to know. Allah Azza wa Jalla informed Al-Khidr that this boy, if he was to grow up, he will be evil. He will be really bad man. He will kill people. He will steal. He will be really like an evil person. So he killed him for two reasons. Reason number one, for his parents to be patient after, you know, if their boy was to, you know, because their parents, they were believers. For his parents to be patient to earn Jannah, number one. Number two, for the boy also as he died when he was a kid, he also to be admitted to Jannah. If he was to grow up and be a killer and be a criminal and be a bad person, he will end up in hellfire. He will end up in hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that knowledge to Al-Khidr. That this boy, if he was to grow up, he will be bad. Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed. But yes, let me explain something really important here. Al-insan musayyar wa mukhayyar. This is in the creed, this is in our aqidah. Al-insan musayyar wa mukhayyar. What does that mean? It means that we all have the choice, the free will. But number two, Number two is that our free will does not operate outside the decree of Allah. What does that mean? That mean I have the free will to choose. There's something called Islam and there's something called not Islam. There's something called darkness and there's something called light. Right? There's something called evil and there's something called good. I have the choice to choose which path I want to undertake. I have that choice to speak to. I have the choice to choose to speak to you right now or to be quiet. It's my choice. It's my choice to eat or not to eat right now. I have food. It's my choice to drink or not to drink. It's my choice to stand or to sit. It's my choice. But my choice does not operate outside the decree of Allah. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla, in His knowledge, He already knows what kind of choice I'm going to make. If you want guidance, Allah shall guide you. If you want guidance, Allah shall guide you. And also it happens that Allah, in His knowledge, He knows whether this person will be guided or not. Let me give you another example. A teacher who's teaching, let's say, and he's been teaching these kids, let's say, he has, let's say, 20 students. And he's been teaching them for the whole year, right? The whole year he's teaching them. At the end of the year, he will have an exam. So as he's distributing the exams to all his children or all his students, before he hands out the exam, he tells the first student, you will pass the exam. He tells the second student he will pass the exam. He tells the third student he will fail the exam. He tells the fourth student he will pass the exam. He tells the fifth student he will fail the exam. How does he know? Does he know the unseen? How does he know the ghaib? Does he know? No, he does not know the ghaib. But what happens is, this teacher is been with the students for the whole year, so he knows ahead of time. He knows those who study and those who do not study. So before handing out the exams, he knows who's going to pass and who's going to fail. Common sense. It's not that the teacher knows the unknown or he knows the unseen. No. The teacher does not know the unseen and he does not know the unknown. He just, because of his relationship with the students, he knows who studies and who does not study. So for Allah, Allah knows. Allah knows the choices that you're going to make before you make them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is just. He gave you that brain, that intellect to choose, to think. But He did not let you, like, you know, astray. He sent prophets. He sent the Quran, the, you know, books, revelations, so that you have no justification, no excuse to say, I did not know. You have no excuse. You knew. And you have been given the choice to choose. You choose to wear hijab or not to wear hijab. It's your choice. You choose to pray or not to pray. It's your choice. You choose to fast or not to fast. It's your choice. If you want guidance from your heart sincerely, then Allah shall guide you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who struggle towards us, we shall certainly guide them. We shall certainly guide them. So when Al-Khidr, he went and he killed that boy, he killed a boy, knowing that this boy will grow up to be an evil man. So yes, his parents, they will feel sorrow for him. He's a kid being killed. So that Allah Azza wa Jalla will replace that kid with a better kid. Number one. Number two, for the parents to be patient, to have Jannah. Number three, for that boy also to enter Jannah. Had he lived to become an adult, he would have become a very bad, evil man and go to hellfire. This is it, you know. So it's not to answer or to ask why Allah does certain things. So it's not, you know, for you and I to say, well, initially, if Allah knew that this boy will be evil when he grows up, He shouldn't even have given birth to him. And his parents shouldn't even have given birth to him. If Allah's plan was to give them a pious son, then don't give him this evil one. Give them the pious child and then be it. Khalas, done. So Al-Khidr didn't have to kill the boy. That's not how it works. I'll give you another example. Sometimes, you know, subhanAllah, some people, they wonder or they ask, you know, is it permissible, you know, because they've been told that this baby in the womb of the mother, he will be born with some health issues. You know, they tell them the boy will be born with, that boy will have some, you know, some health problems such as, you know, brain problems or, you know, paralysis problems or whatnot. And indeed, the boy is, is born with those disabilities. I've seen so many disabled, subhanAllah, sons and daughters. And the parents are so patient with their that disabled, you know, son or daughter. And subhanAllah, that disabled son or daughter turned out to be Hafid al-Quran. Go to YouTube. There are some people, subhanAllah, they can't even speak. They're all paralyzed. Their mouth is paralyzed. Everything is paralyzed. But subhanAllah, Allah made them Hafid al-Quran. There's some people, there's stories on Facebook. They're insane. They are really like their mind, they're like, you know, a lemon. But when they come to teach the Quran or to learn the Quran, they memorize the whole Quran. They are brilliant. They are geniuses. There's the story of this Egyptian boy. He's a man now, right? He's miskin, insane. Yeah, and he cannot, you tell him, what's your name? He laughs at you. Go check him out on YouTube. What's your name? He laughs at you. How old are you? He laughs at you. He's insane. And then you tell him, Surah Al-Baqarah, page number 5, what's the first word? Right away he tells you the first word and he recites. You tell him, Surah Al-Nisa, start from page number 200. One, start from the middle, and he will go right. It's like a computer in his mind. A computer in his mind. He goes right to it, and then he start. You know, not by looking. No. Memorizing the whole Quran. But you ask him anything else, he lost it. He's miskin. He just laughs. Laughs. Subhanallah. If I didn't see that with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. But go to YouTube and then check out the Egyptian, you know, disabled Hafid. For instance, I think whatever it is, but you can research it and you can find it. So Allah Azza wa Jal made certain kids or certain people, let's say disabled, made them paralyzed, made them this, but He gave them something else. He made so many people blind, He took their sight, but He gave them other skills, other talents. So sometimes people, they wonder, why? You don't know. Only Allah knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, why. So that boy now, that Hafid now, not only he will be admitted to Jannah, his parents who strived and struggled and made a lot of efforts and patience to go through, you know, a kid who doesn't even know how to go to the washroom. He doesn't even know how to go to the washroom. They have to take him to the washroom. He's not a kid now, he's a man, and they have to wash him after going to the washroom. That's how disabled and paralyzed they are. Yet that same boy or girl have become, let's say, Hafid al-Quran and genius in al-Quran. Huh? You and I don't know, but Allah Azza wa Jalla knows. So Al-Khidr, he explained this bit to Musa alayhi salam, that this boy, if he was to grow up, he will be an evil man. So we killed him so that Allah Azza wa Jalla will replace his family with a righteous son. Okay, that was number 2. And then they went into another trip, a country trip. In that country trip, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ كَانَ فَكَانِ لُغُلَيْمَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ When they found that wall, and then Al-Khidr, you know, they went to these people who were not hospitable, and they asked if they could, you know, feed them, and the people were, you know, refused to feed them because they were very stingy people. So Al-Khidr found that wall, and then he asked Musa to help him fix the wall. And after they fixed the wall, Musa wondered, why didn't you do it for some money? At least we could have taken some money, right? And then buy food with it. So Al-Khidr, he explained, وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا.
Oh, this is one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites, brothers and sisters. He says, with regard to the wall, that wall belonged to two boys who were orphans. All right, underneath that wall was a treasure, kenz. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. Underneath that was a treasure. If that wall was to remain, broken, that treasure will be exposed and those orphans will lose their treasure. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave that knowledge to Al-Khidr to build that wall on top of that, that treasure, so that when the kids grew up, they will go and get their own treasure that their father left for them. And look what Al-Khidr said. Al-Khidr said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Oh, Sister Fatima Ghani, you have two kids. You have two boys, mashallah. And all of you out there who are listening, listen what Allah says there. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their father was a righteous man. What does that have to do with the story? What that has to do with the story of the building the wall? The wall belonged to two orphans who used to be, two orphans. Under that wall was a treasure that their father left for them before he died. And their father was a good man, was a righteous man. So because the father was a righteous man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved that treasure for the boys. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Because the father was a righteous man, even after he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent someone. Allah sent someone. Allah sent someone to save and to preserve the treasure for the kids until they grow up. And I believe in that. Yes, I do travel for lecturing, for work, for conferences. And I say, yeah, maybe I did not leave nothing for my children in terms of wealth. I may not have left them anything. But I'm trying to serve people. I'm trying to serve people. I'm trying to be righteous. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I were to go, Allah will send someone to serve my kids. And my message to all the fathers out there and to all the mothers out there is the same lesson. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their father was a righteous man. And the father, he could mean also the parents. The parents. If you mom and if you dad, if the fathers and mothers, if you're righteous, that's all you can give to your children, inshallah ta'ala. This is really extremely important. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. This, underline 1,000 lines, on it. Underline, and highlight it with red and green and yellow underline it. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And the father was a righteous man. If you are a righteous person, that's all you can leave for your children, regardless of how much wealth you have or don't have. Have or don't have. Because if you are indeed righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I sincerely believe in this, even if you're gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send someone to take care of your children. Al-Khidr told Musa, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. And your Lord wanted to save that, that treasure for them. And he said at the end, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. He says, I did not do this off of my own head, my own, thinking. It is only Allah who have told me, who has told me what to do, or He has instructed me of what to do. وَمَا فَعَلْتُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. I did not do this because, I went and I killed that boy because I wanted to kill the boy, or I went to, I fixed the wall because I wanted to fix the wall,
or I went and I damaged the boat because I wanted to damage the boat. It was information. It was ilm which Allah has given me, has revealed to me. So I went and I did with the permission of Allah. So sisters and brothers, be righteous if you want to save your children. One man, subhanAllah, he came to see the Sahabi, this companion, right? So when he went, sisters and brothers, listen to this. I'm going to end my talk with this, inshallah. He went to see this man who went to visit the Sahabi. I forgot the Sahabi's name, the companion's name. The wife of the companion said that he is in the mosque. He went to pray dhuhr. He went to the masjid because he wanted to talk to him. But then he found that the man, after praying dhuhr, he stayed in the masjid and praying. Yani the Sahabi stayed in the masjid praying after praying dhuhr. And his son was in the back of the masjid waiting for his dad. The son was in the back of the masjid waiting for the dad. So when the man came in asking for the Sahabi, the son said he's still praying. So he sat down waiting for him. Way after dhuhr. When the Sahaba finished the salah, he came out. And then that man came, "I came to ask you a question. I came to your home. Your wife told me that you are at the masjid. So I came to, you know, to the masjid and you were still praying. Everybody left, but you're still praying." He said, listen to what the Sahabi said. Sisters and brothers, do you want me to tell you what the Sahabi said? Do you want me to tell you why the Sahabi, you know, why that companion was praying extra prayers? Or shall I make it a cliffhanger? Shall I make it a cliffhanger? Why the companion was praying longer after dhuhr, after everybody left? Everybody was gone except that, you know, Sahabi, that companion who was still praying. Do you want me to tell you why? Reda and Mehdi, they said yes, but not Levi, yes, Yashmin. How about those of you on Facebook? You want me to tell you why? I can tell you why. Those of you on Facebook like Moore Kane and Kamran and Lula Rowe, you want me to tell you why? Kamran, no cliffhanger. Everybody's begging, no cliffhanger. All right, here it is. No cliffy. I promise. He said, no, it's not about the sweetness of Salah, Moore Kane, it's not the sweetness of Salah. No, it is not that. He said, I did my prayer, the dhuhr, khalas, I did that, right? He said, the extra prayer I did was for that boy that you see there in the back. I stayed longer and longer. Why did I stay longer? All my time staying longer and praying was I was praying for my son, for Allah to guide him. I did that for him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I did it for my son. I was making dua for my son. That's why I stayed, you know, longer. That's why I stayed later. Right? I finished my dhuhr long time ago and I could have gone home, but I stay longer. Why? Because of him, because of my boy, because of my son. So Al-Khidr told Musa alayhi salam, "Wa kana abuhuma salihah," and their father was a righteous man. And their father was a righteous man. This is why. Because their father was a righteous man. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to save that treasure for the kids when they grow up because they were orphans. Allah wanted to save the treasure for the kids when they grow up, inshallah, they will use or they will utilize that which their father has left for them. So, as I said, my brothers and sisters, those of you who have children, or those of you, inshallah, who are thinking to have children, maybe the only thing that you really can do for them is you being righteous. If you are a righteous sister, if you are a righteous mother, if you are a righteous husband, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at some point in your lifetime, at some point, He will guide your children. And He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, save them. and he will send someone that you don't know or you may know that will take care of your children after you're gone. Wallahi, wallahi, Allah Azza wa Jal will send someone that you know or you do not know after you're gone to take care of your family and to take care of your children. Alrighty, my brothers and sisters. Is this the end of the story of Musa alayhi salam? No, it is not the end of the story of Musa alayhi salam. No, Musa hasn't, you know, it's not over yet. He's still with Banu Israel. They're still giving him hard time. He's still preaching and preaching and preaching. And he's still, having difficulties, going through hardship, going through a lot of obstacles with Banu Israel. So what happened? What happened? Insha'Allah ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, we will talk, about Musa and Banu Israel one more time. And that time, it is the story of the cow. The story of the cow. And what does the cow have to do with the Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter Al-Cow in the Quran? What does that have to do with it anyways? Brothers and sisters, insha'Allah ta'ala, yes, I thought that I would be able to finish the story of Musa, but there's one more thing. There's one more thing that I did not talk about and I did not want to miss to talk about. So we will talk about this, insha'Allah ta'ala, next week, next Friday. That will be the grand finale. Next Friday, it will be Musa grand finale. We will be done with Musa alayhi salam, insha'Allah ta'ala, next week. Jazakumullah khair for coming. Jazakumullah khair for attending. Those of you on Facebook, thank you very much. Those of you who've come in late, please go back and watch the other sessions. Remember what I said about knowledge. Knowledge is not about you, whenever you have time. I'm sorry to say that. Knowledge is not about you. Whenever I have time, I will log in. Whenever I have time, I will attend the lecture. Whenever I have time, I would read Quran. Whenever I have time, I will go to the masjid. No, ilm, it is you making time for ilm. You making time for this beautiful thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with. So give that time, insha'Allah ta'ala. Go back and watch the session which you have missed. They're all recorded on Facebook. They're all recorded on YouTube. And there are some on Instagram as well. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you, Facebook. Jazakum Allah khair, Facebook. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Facebook. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Instagram.